Blog Talk Radio.
Golden dream and beauty man, is it only fantasy? Sometimes one can't help but wonder, will it ever truly be? Some people keep on saying, all is illusion and lies. Why is it so hard to believe? There are better days to see. So it seems like the world is tumbling down. It's the darkest time of night. Right before
yes, blessed souls, here it comes. We're now broadcasting live, and we're grateful to be alive. The blessings of the Most High in Torat Chaim, instructions of life, Torat Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torat Rachamim, instructions of mercies. You're now tuned into blogtalkradio.com, and we consider ourselves and we humbly suggest we are the higher inner dimension of blogtalkradio.com. We call ourselves Soul Class. This happens to be Soul Class 574, Meditation Equals Wellsprings for the Human Soul, Program Presentation number 29. Baruch Hashem, blessed is our Creator. Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the human family experience. With Creator's help, we're now broadcasting live at 9:02 Eastern Standard Time from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA, Unified Soul Actualization. Call a number to listen in is 347-838-8669. Our focus will be extracting inspirations from Hillel Parch's elucidations upon the Mitler Rebbe Shari Yuchud, the Gate of Unification. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. And the tags for today's program are Eternal Creator, Divine Image, Universal Redemption, Chassidus, Hillel Parch, the Mitler Rebbe, Shari Yuchud, the Gate of Unification. And last but not least, children of Israel collaborating with the children of Noah to meditate, to end the hate, jealousy, and competition, which is not needed at all in the creation because it leads to, unfortunately, more hate and jealousy. But in order to continue with today's program, we've got to turn down the music of Brother in Spirit Prayer and Acts of Kindness, the president of Beit Mazal, a Shomer Shabbos congregation located in Kessicron Heights, located 1433 President Street, located between Kingston Avenue and Albany Avenue, under the spiritual direction of Rabbi Daniel Mapur. And you can join the prayers of Beit Mazal, and I hope to be there this coming Shabbat with the help of the Most High. Prayers start at 10 a.m., and you'll get to be hearing with the help of the Most High the wonderful chantings out of the traditions of the Jewish North African Moroccan community, along with other Sephardic traditions fused together with ancient Israelite Hebrew Jewish liturgy composed by the prophets of Israel. But in order to get on with the show, we've got to turn on the music. Sorry, Rabbi Isaac. Oy vey, oy. And there goes that music. And hopefully we'll be hearing some more music tomorrow when we'll be doing our program with, hopefully, Secular by Design author Alan W. Cecil, and joined in hopefully as well by Rambam student teacher and activist for the dissemination of the teachings of the Nesher Gadol, the Great Eagle, Rambam, Rabbi Moshe Ben Maimon, Maimonides. I'd like to dedicate today's program to my dear father, Reb Shlomo Yaakov, Sheyichia, may he live, Ben Esther, Aleha Shalom, my grandmother, his mother, peace be upon her, and also to my mother, to Mechazek, Bagashin, Ruchni, to strengthen the physicality and spirituality of my mother, Maras, Yiska Tachia, my mother Yiska, may she live, Bas Chayasara, the daughter of Chayasara, my grandmother, may she rest in peace. So last week after the program, I was in consultation with Dennis Ryan, and Dennis wanted me to make a rectification in one of the ways that I presented one of the concepts that we talked about last week in Meditation Equals Wellsprings for the Human Soul program presentation number 28. When I talked about going inner and inner, you go deeper within the concept, that Dennis felt that you blessed souls listening out there, whether you're listening live or in the archive version, might kind of lose sight of where I was trying to take you conceptually, cognitively. The point is, blessed souls, as we go into more and more into the particularities of any Torah concept, or it could be a secular concept, it could be mathematics, it could be biology, it could be chemistry, it could be whatever you want, the study of the human nervous system, you discover with each new fact a microcosmic universe which in no shape, manner, or form is a contradiction to the macrocosmic universe you're dealing with. Like, say, for instance, you're talking about discovering new insights about the human cell, the wonders of the cell, and as it connects to other cells, and those cells form ultimately involved in the formation of skin tissue and bone matter and the organs of the body. Each particular part of the body, down to its molecular structure, is its own microcosmic universe. At the same time, too, we don't want to lose sight of the fact that whatever part of the body, in the most microcosmic detailed analysis, is somehow a distractive feature, that we lose sight of the fact we are, in fact, studying the components, the various components, the billions and billions of components, which make up the wondrous entity of the human body. So I just wanted to point that out. And as we move forward, today's presentation, blessed souls, when we consider the open, accessible human experience of meditation, what quality is evident? What is evident is a quality of cognitive analysis, which again, we're now talking about the quality of cognitive analysis from one perspective, and we parenthetically inject what Rav Hillel wanted us to know, is not the depth of comprehension extractable from human understanding. Rather, we're going to re-evaluate how we consider the concept of Torah cognitive analysis, also known as Iyun, Ayin, Yud, Vav, Nun, Sofit, as a quality of vessel. Rav Hillel adds in his elucidation on the Mittler Rebbe's teaching, this quality of vessel, i.e. Torah cognitive analysis, empowers a human being via that particular Torah cognitive analysis that he and she are engaging in to attain some quality of deeper understanding, unearthing a premise which at first glance is the byproduct of the Torah cognitive analysis experience and is called amakas adas. If you want to translate literally the deep connection, a deep connection to what data one has already become aware of. But at the same time, too, some people associate the term amakas adas, which is a deep connection, as some sort of deep knowledge, but that's not so. There are different ways of understanding profundity within our cognitive experiences, blessed souls, but unless that deep cognitive experience is connected to data, it's not so much cognitive as much as it is imaginative. And also there's a strong element of emotional, euphoric perception. We want to clarify, when we're talking about amakas adas, we're talking about a quality of vessel, a bechina shel kli, empowering a human being to cognitively arrive at the depth of a concept. Again, because the depth of the data, or the data brings oneself to the depth of a concept, a person can ascend in his or her consciousness to a level called ma'amik, or literally one who is not only going deep into the concept, but is making an effect on that which they are getting deep into. Now, when a person reaches this human cognitive experience of becoming a mimic, one who goes deeper into and is making some sort of effect on the material that he or she are interacting with, because that material will affect them, a human being is then enabled to cognitively ascend higher than the wisdom or the concept this human being, he or she, has begun to meditate upon, gain inner understanding of, and engage in even a much more deeper Torah analysis of the concept he or she has started already learning. From here, Rev Hill of Parich identified for the human soul congregation, generally speaking, there are four general qualities to a concept we've talked about before, known as the cognitive experience of Das. It can be interpreted in many ways. It can be interpreted as knowledge. That's sort of, so to speak, the outer or superficial definition of Das. It can also be connected to, as we'll soon see, connecting to the essence of something, and then having the power to extract out of that essence some sort of bechein, practical outcome. For instance, the first level of Das Tachton that Hillel wants us to be aware of is connecting to the faculty of Das, and this is also identified with the back part of the human physical brain, connecting to a quality of human understanding and giving forth to some sort of elevated quality of human emotional capacity expansion. Now, the next three general levels, the first level is called Das Tachton, the lower Das. The next three levels are in the category of Das Elyon, the higher or more elevated forms of Das. This is whereby the faculty of one's Das, sensitivity to the essence of whatever data one is connecting to connect human wisdom, the chachma, the wisdom within the human cognitive experience, to bina, to that human cognitive experience of understanding. The Das, the first level of Das Elyon, connects human wisdom to human understanding. This second general level of Das Elyon is where human wisdom, which previously was engaging in feeding human understanding, otherwise understanding it as connecting perception of profundity to the elucidation of that profundity. But human wisdom itself needs to be supercharged. And by what is human wisdom supercharged? By this general level 2 of Das Elyon, which connects to the essence of one's accumulated human wisdom that one is blessed to have, he or she, wherever you may be, to your super consciousness known as your Koach HaMaskil. And the general level 3 is an exponential jump in Das Elyon, as Rav Hillel shares with us in the elucidation of the first chapter of Shaar Yuchad, the Gate of Unification, whereby going way beyond the cognitive faculties of the human being, and yet a starting point, so to speak, the antenna to the human cognitive experience in terms of the three, if we consider the human mind being enclosed in the human brain, which has three general sections according to the Kabbalah and Chassidus: right brain processing, left brain processing, and back brain processing. And the back of the brain is, so to speak, an antenna to connect to the essence of what we've talked about before, with the two general levels of Das Elyon, the solely identified level of Das Tachton, connecting soul essence, the Atzmus and Nefesh. Now, Das Elyon has this capacity to connect to the Atzmus and Nefesh, to qualities which manifest within this soul essence, the Atzmus and Nefesh, the qualities of Ratzon and Oneg, desire and delight, that can be manifested out of soul essence. So the practical outcome there is that soul essence, which is really a pristine, simplistic entity, soulful energy, a type of soulful simplistic soulful energy gives birth to Oneg and Ratzon Shebenefesh, the desire and the delight within the human soul. And we're not talking about into the more, you know, delighting and desiring into the more grub corporeal aspects of creation, but for the desire and delight to connect to godliness as it's manifest in this world while we are in our bodies of flesh and blood, bones and sinews, and our wondrous nervous system. Rav Hillel instructs us that this highest level of Das Elyon, which is again considered to be a general level, because according to the Kabbalah, there's actually thousands and thousands of chambers of sensitivity that have been embedded within the human soul, the human being. It's just a matter of becoming aware of it and experiencing it on yourself. Rav Hillel wants us to know that this is another dimension of Maimik. The first level of Maimik we talked about was the idea of human wisdom connecting to super consciousness, because one is getting that eureka experience, those flashes of wisdom, which if not grasped, and then the human being does not attempt, he or she, to elucidate upon that eureka experience, as many scientists have experienced, and physicists and mathematicians, Torah scholars for that matter, the wise men and women of the world have gotten brilliant insight and brought it down and latched onto it and empowered the expansion of their human understanding. But this mimic level, this idea of going deeper into the concept, going deeper into the essence of the concept, which is godliness, is going to make an effect on the soul essence to the point it gives birth, again, to these qualities of Ratzon and Oneg. Now, going back to the Mittler Rebbe's unique style of clarifying for we of the human soul congregation, that when we consider wisdom, Chochmah, is a tangible quality of Ayin, which we've discussed as well, is this idea of the ethereal super plasticity dimension of profundity, which can be contorted, twisted, bended, interpreted, in fact, as well misinterpreted, as it relates to a Torah concept, which is pristine and holy and eternal. But there's an ayin, there's a flexibility, there's a malleability that exists within any Torah concept, even before that Torah concept has been studied. And within that level of Ayin Shebechochma, the sense of nothing, the sense of malleability, plasticity, it's maneuverable. You can maneuver it in a, you can make it take any shape, form you want. Hopefully with the outcome of getting closer to the truth of the Torah concept, not distorting it and distorting it for others. This tangible quality of Ayin, which in itself sounds like a paradox. The tangibility of plasticity, so to speak, like a compounded matter, which you can never really hold it at one moment, but at least you can touch it, you can push it, but you can't grasp it fully. That's how, so to speak, that tangible aspect of this ethereal concept of Ayin. Before it becomes included within the depth of the essential points, which are in fact tangibly comprehensible within the confines of human understanding, and therefore become accessible with any Torah concept, is again like a wellspring in relation to a river. Now the wellspring itself is merely a force, a dimension within the quality of this wonderful creation called water, which doesn't really assume dimension until it drop after drop on a steady basis, feeds into the riverbed. And once it feeds into the riverbed, it's now become subject to the water pressure, as the water can either go upwardly, it can go from side to side, it can go lengthwise. And so too, the depth of a Torah concept has its own unique streaming qualities. But the stream of the depth of a concept in Torah, or even if we talk about a secular matter and say quantum physics, is a, as Rav Hiller wants us to know, is the comprehension, which is called understanding. Now, we've talked about before, comprehension is a little bit deeper than understanding. Again, you can go back to last week's presentation on this matter. Meditation equals wellsprings for the soul program, for the human soul, program presentation number 28. The depth of a concept is the quality of the essence of its essential point as it exists unto itself. And it's called the Omek HaMusag. It is the depth of the of what is known to be what is possibly comprehensible, and what is the depth of what is possibly to be comprehended with any Torah concept, that as it disperses out, as one elucidates upon how one comprehends the subject matter to all sides, it could be with a great width or breadth, meaning with all the data, with all the particularities embedded within that data. And so too, to the length of that to lengthen out the data, to simplify to the point where the simplification seems to have no relation to the ultimate data, you know, riverbed of data, or the stream of data. And also, the concept itself has a tendency, a Torah concept, to lead us to an understanding as much as we understand it. And we can even go beyond our original understanding, even of the totality of the concept, as much as a human being can. We get to, again, this level of exalted, this quality of exalted depth. Exalted depth meaning you realizing that this concept is coming way beyond human understanding, but yet somehow paradoxically can fit somewhere within our teeny tiny human consciousness, just as in the time that we saw when the waters of the abyss came up, at the time of the great flood, in the time of Noah, lo and behold, as depicted in the scripture, and fully elucidated in all forms of oral Torah tradition, the whole world was overwhelmed with this water of the abyss. So too, as we mentioned last week as well, in the days of the Mashiach, the time of redemption, which corresponds to the 600th year of Noah, as written in the Zohar, which we talked about last week, that the wellsprings of wisdom shall be opened. And as those wellsprings of the abyss, meaning as human wisdom unearths microcosmic consciousness after microcosmic consciousness, which is in no way a contradiction to the material that we as a human family experience have already uncovered, that well springs from above, way beyond that earthly human wisdom shall be opened up to us. Now again, going back to this idea of a wellspring, before we concern ourselves with the again, what feeds into the essence of the river, which is the, say, like the undercurrent. An example of that, I think you have the Colorado Rapids. And I'm sure there's other bodies of water where fast-flowing water can be seen and observed and filmed, and even people go kayaking on this type of water, even to the point where they even endanger their lives. And if so, at first glance, it might not seem possible with this. When we concern ourselves, getting back to, I got a little tangential before, that's okay, because that's where his bones can be a very eclectic, tangential type of cognitive human experience, in order that we, again, remain flexible in our consciousness. But so the whole idea is to become flexible in trying to work with matters of godliness. That the idea that at first glance, Rav Hillel wants us to know that is not possible with this. That das, this human cognitive faculty, and connecting into the essence of wisdom, which is called ayin, which we talked about, and how much more so when das connects to even higher than human perception of profundity, I'd get at the same time too, when we talk about the quality of depth, it's being rooted in the concept, and its root reaches into a high, the root of this depth reaches into the root that's going to draw down to a new flow of wellspring of wisdom, of perception of profundity. But at that point, when we are getting involved in the depths of a concept and we are sensing the profundity and we might even be privy to that eureka insight into how to understand better that concept, we have to be aware of it's time to try to grasp it and elucidate the concept. Not so easy, and it takes a lot, and many people give up in this process, unfortunately, and they say, what's the benefit of just so to speak, doing cognitive push-ups with my brain, straining myself to try to understand something which seems so far removed from me, but it could be a day later, a month later, 2 years later, 10 years later. Some sages have taken 20 years to understand a concept because they had so many questions because they admitted they didn't have the proper understanding of how to approach it or the proper self-nullification or self-abnegation to humble themselves before the concept. Because we're talking about, again, a Torah concept is talking about some level of nullifying one's ego, one's human consciousness, which is in and of itself a healthy thing that it when it's directly configured to one's divine image. And at this point, blessed souls, we're going to end the program because we've run out of time, and we're going to segue it as we usually do with Help Me Find My Way Home, which maybe some of you listening to today's program might feel that way. Don, you led us kind of like down through a labyrinth, a cavern which was quite dark and very detailed, but that's okay. The whole idea is not for you to come to any final conclusions from me, but to come to the conclusions yourself based on your own Torah, fully authentic type of analysis. And this book helps you open up the doors of the chambers of your mind to get involved in that. So let's end today's program with Help Me Find My Way Back Home by Brother David Dome, who wants to remind us, our Tzelem Elohim is no dream. Our divine image will help us get in scrimmage in the game of life. And you've got to do good, blessed souls, because Ateva Tov Lehetiv, it's the nature of the good to do good, to wipe away your anxiety, wipe away your agita, wipe away your ambivalence about doing good. Because if you're in the world, it's because the source of all goodness put you in there, here, on this blessed earth, to make it a more suitable place for the entire human family experience of 7 billion plus human souls. Take care, everyone.
Arrange my Raise me up above the stars. Help me find my way home. Find my way home.